Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back. This week we have Shannon Brett, who is actually running on the Libertarian ticket for North Carolina U.S. Senate. Is that how you say it?
You got that right. Yeah. That's right. And I'm super excited too. Not only are you the first person that we brought on the podcast that is verified on Twitter.
Nice.
But one of the favorite reasons why I wanted to have you on as well is I've never been excited to vote for someone in an election until I voted for you in 2020.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, very rarely do I get excited about someone who's running. So that was the main reason why I reached out to you and wanted to have you on.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't really know what to say about it. You could have given me a little heads up.
No, sorry. It makes it fun that way.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's just, I have no words. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. But before we get into more of your background, Chris, what are we sipping on today?
So this week we were looking through all the ones we have here, and Tula Mordue, which we had the XO version a couple weeks ago. We have the original Irish whiskey this week. It does have an E in the name of it, though. For those who are
interesting
asking or wondering, there are different versions of how to spell whiskey, but this one is Irish whiskey with an EY. It's very different on the palate. It has more like a honey, banana chips, very fruity flavors on the palate. And then if you sniff it on the nose, it's more like red apples and still kind of fruit, a little bit of toffee, you know, my favorite stuff. And then has more of a traditional finish to it. But yeah, I'll be intrigued. I'm mixing it up. I'm doing it neat. And then I do have a little ice chip here just to see if it changes it up a little bit. But
yeah, that sounds good. The one thing I was talking about just a few minutes before we got onto the podcast with one of the bar owners in the Cargo District area is how the progression of tasting whiskeys is and kind of starting out with kind of drinking like a Jack Daniels and then kind of how you progress through that and how this podcast in particular, how when you read it out that you actually like take that moment to like actually sniff it and like, oh, do I smell that? Do I taste it? So like I've had Tula Mordue multiple times, but until you said that banana chip and that those fruity flavors, I never really like thought about looking for them until you said them.
Yes. So I feel like
interesting.
Whiskey combinations are literally like when you build concrete, you're like, oh, it's just concrete. But in reality, there's a bunch of other things mixed into it that gives you that final thing. I know that was kind of random, but cheers.
Right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Very good.
Yeah. This is a nice one for if you want a low budget whiskey to drink, or it's a good mixer too. I feel like this would be good mixed into like a ginger or
I usually do a ginger beer with my Tula Mordue just because it does have those fruity flavors to it.
See, love it.
Learning something every day. But Shannon, tell us a little bit more about your background and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Well, I guess my background really kind of starts at my adult life.
Yeah.
Shortly after I graduated high school a little early, and shortly after I went to college to try to get into computer science.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had kind of a sheltered life as a kid. We were pretty poor. You know, I didn't really get to see a whole lot of new things. So when I got out on my own, yeah. I got straight A's the first two semesters, and then I was a wrecking ball. Yeah. Right? I stopped going to school, really got interested in, you know, some of the party life of the early colleges and the clubs and all of that. And then kind of also, you know, I was kind of naive at the time. So I kind of fell in with the wrong people because they're not your typical bad people, right? You have like your gangbangers and stuff, like when you see them, you know that they're either, you know, they're dressed to intimidate. But when you meet people in suits, right, their games are completely evil, and you're sometimes you're not ready for it. So you know, I kind of found myself in some trouble, went into the Navy, and I first went in as a nuclear engineer.
Oh, wow.
School sucked.
I have a friend who did that.
It was rough. I went in as a nuke ET, but my brother, my half-brother died. While I was going to school. So I missed 3 or 4 weeks of school. Couldn't catch back up, rolled out, and then became a Navy diver.
Oh, wow.
And then from there on, I got attached to submarines, and that's kind of where I spent most of my career. As soon as I got out, but I was looking at either going into commercial diving, which is what most people were doing, or getting back into computers, which was kind of like my early passion in life as a kid.
Yeah.
So then I went self-taught, built a career 20 years. You know, after about 10 years, I started working for the federal government. Okay. I worked for DARPA. I worked for DOD. I worked in places in Hawaii that have some initials. I worked some places in Virginia that have different initials. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was in Afghanistan doing IT server builds, you know, in Kevlar.
Wow. <Yeah. laughs>
in 2013. So I've had an interesting, you know, adult life. And it's something that I've always kind of been proud of.
Right.
And I never really liked politics. But, you know, it was during the Sarah Palin years.
Yeah.
Right. And when I heard the words come out of her mouth, I was like, man, I can't be a Republican. This isn't what I believe in. Right.
Right.
They were at that particular year, right. They were women bashing. We're not paying for your contraceptives, you whores, right. Abstinence is best, right. This was the messaging coming out from the Republican Party at the time. Most people totally forgotten about that.
Right.
But I'm a dad of two little girls, right. And I am not going to let the U.S. government or any old man in Washington tell my girls how they're going to live, right? So I started looking. I went online. Okay, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. You know, what am I? You know, what other parties are there? I took that little libertarian test and was like, wow, I don't even know what a libertarian is. But then that was it. I took the test and said, okay, I'm a libertarian.
Yeah.
And at the time, I'm in Colorado, and that's just how I identified. I changed it on my license, didn't know any other libertarian ever.
Yeah.
But I just kind of read it and was like, yeah, I believe in the second. I believe that all men are created equal. Mm-hmm. I believe in giving people the opportunity to come to the U.S. as long as they're law-abiding citizens. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that my parents, you know, had me as a child here, you know, as a baby, because that's all that matters.
Right.
So I was kind of loosely a libertarian, right?
Yeah.
Now you get online and you talk to real libertarians, right? And at the beginning, it's like, you're not a real libertarian. You know, then we moved to North Carolina. I'm working for the federal government. Trump gets elected. And I get furloughed a couple times, right? Mm-hmm. I'm working for the government, and apparently cybersecurity analysts aren't needed when the government shuts down. Oddly enough.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Russia, China, Iran, they all know this. So they're hitting us even harder. So the real front line of defense for our country, are all sitting at home unpaid, and we're not even allowed to work for free the way the government works.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're scared for our country, right? But nobody knows this because we're not allowed to speak out. So then I was like, screw this. A congressman passed away here in Eastern North Carolina. And I was like, well, I'm just going to run. Like same day he got furloughed is pretty much when I heard.
Right.
So, you know, I ran out of my own district and whatever.
Yeah.
Met Tim. Good friend of mine now. Love him to death. Love to see him get elected.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
But he kind of, I learned a lot from him, the way he debated, the way he talked, the way he addressed his issues, the way that he wasn't scared to look at someone and say, no, this is the way it is. And this is why you're wrong.
Yeah.
Right. And he doesn't. I've never. So hopefully he actually hears this and I can give him his accolades. Right. Yeah. But I learned a lot from him to where I wasn't going to really do anything again. But then I was getting people from all over the state saying, hey, I would have voted for you had you been in my district.
Right.
And stuff. And I was like, well, you know, thanks. You know what? Let me just try to run for the U.S. Senate. And, you know, in the most contentious election ever, Trump versus Biden, battle for the Senate, Donald Trump, you know, and so they're spending $1 billion between those two, right? One of them can't keep it in his pants, sleeping around with army wives, right? And the other one is just wishy-washy as all hell, giving away our military money for border walls and
left.
It was just ridiculous. But the fact that I got, you know, almost 172,000 votes in an election that was, you know, the most important election of our lifetime.
Yeah.
Told me that people are ready for liberty, right? Absolutely. They're like, you know what? I'm tired of the Republican agenda. I'm tired of the Democratic agenda. Every 4 or 8 years, they switch power, and we're not getting any better. In fact, we're getting worse.
Yep.
The Republicans take our power. The Democrats take our power and our money. Right? So the Republicans might be better, but then now they're dictating how you have to live inside your own home.
Right.
Right. Which is completely against everything they stand for on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a bunch of hypocrites.
Yep.
The Democrats are a bunch of hypocrites. In fact, the only people I find that are not hypocrites are the people who actually walk the tenets of the Libertarian Party, because it's designed not to have hypocrisy.
Yeah.
The only one that really kind of pushes the boundary there is the abortion topic.
Right.
But by and large, we don't believe the federal government should be involved in this decision making anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, you know, it lets us have that fight locally where it should be.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, and then kind of let, because the federal government has no business doing anything for us outside defending us.
Yeah.
Right. That's, and you know, they snuck in the 16th Amendment on us just so that we could pay for World War One.
Yeah.
And now we're paying for Desert One, Desert Two, you know, Biden's half action. You know, when we had the shootings in front of the embassy, 13 service member died. And now, very unfortunate, right? And then, you know, they come out and they say, well, this was a huge disaster. It's going to take us months to figure out what happened, but we're going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, Biden bombs kids, right? Thinking that was, where is the, we're going to look at the intelligence. We're going to find things. And you know what? They were just called casualties of war.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference between murder and casualty of war is your GPS location. And that's a shame.
It is. It's certainly true. And you kind of touched on the two people that you were running against in 2020. So just a small background on kind of where I come from, just real fast to where we are now, is I found out about libertarianism, unfortunately, in December of 2016. So right after that whole thing. And it was actually on a podcast called Freakonomics. And it was something along the lines of like 10 reasons why you might be a libertarian. So I listened to it, and I listened to Gary Johnson, and I heard a lot of the things that he had to say. And I was like, oh, shoot, like, I actually kind of associate with these a lot more than either one of these sides. And you don't have to vote for the lesser of two evils. And then we got to 2020 elections, and presidential election aside, that's a whole other story. But when it comes to the U.S. Senate for North Carolina, I'm like, if you look at Democrat and Republican, there's no lesser of anything here. It's just two evils. And I already knew a little bit more about Libertarian Party. I looked a little bit more into it. I saw who you are, and I looked down your like website and what you stood for. And I was like, you know what? There is no voting lesser of two evils. I'm voting my conscience. I'm voting for who I actually agree with. I'm voting for Shannon Bray. And anyone that heard my voice before I had a podcast, I was like, hey, you don't have to do this. And then of course you get the argument like, well, if you don't vote for whichever party that person associates with, you're voting for the other one. It's a throwaway vote. I'm sure you hear that all the time.
I do, but there's actually, I can prove why that's a fallacy.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
And that's why I wanted to bring this up, because I wanted you to talk about that.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I was trying to educate people last cycle on, was that mm-hmm. third-party vote and the importance of it.
Yep.
Right? So this time around, I'll talk about last time around and then this time around.
Yeah.
So last time around, there were four people on the ballot. Mm-hmm. The Republican, the Democrat, me as a Libertarian, and a guy from the Constitution Party.
Right.
So I got over 3%. Mm-hmm. He got 1.5%. Well, in order to maintain ballot access, you have to get 3%. So yep. for people who were constitutionalists but were like, oh, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and vote for Tom because he's a Republican and I don't want to waste my vote. Well, now your party mm-hmm. just lost access to that ballot
yep.
because you didn't break 3%. Now, if you break 5%, 10%, and 15%, mm-hmm. there's additional bonuses that candidates get.
Yeah.
Right now, the federal government gives the Republicans and the Democrats money to campaign with. Mm-hmm. But third parties don't get it because we're not getting high enough on the percentages.
Yep.
So you're not wasting your vote. You are slowly changing the paradigm of how the duopoly controls these elections.
Mm-hmm. You worded that much better than I ever could. So thank you so much. So we were having this back and forth conversation. She was like, oh, it's a throwaway vote. And I'm like, you want to know something? Voting Democrat in Texas is a throwaway vote.
Yeah.
I was like, so if you vote Libertarian, you're at least giving one more vote to that percentage where you can have something different than a yeah. Democrat or Republican.
Yeah.
So whether it worked out or not, we haven't talked about who she voted for. But
but that's what those parties do. In fact, it's very hard for them to even acknowledge third parties because they don't want people to know that they're in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they only fight amongst each other to kind of keep that down. Like last year, I didn't get any TV coverage mm-hmm. until after the election. The day after, I got three TV interviews. Oh, you did really well. How did it feel to go through an election and nobody know you were in it? Well, wow. The reason nobody knew I was in it is because your media coverage doesn't help right. the democracy. You only go after the dollars. Mm-hmm. So you're part of the problem.
Right.
I did at least do one TV spot before this election.
Yeah.
But it was before the primary. So, you know, you get mixed up
yes.
with all of right. those other people. And right now, you know, it's all focused on the Republican and the Democrat, which is fine by me because my number one goal is to really try to help the down ballot guys.
Yeah.
Right. I want people to hear about me enough to say, oh, that crypto guy, mm-hmm. right? Oh, he's pro-liberty crypto. And I don't have to worry about him coming and taking my guns.
Right.
I may not like what he stands for right here, but let me check out what some of these other libertarians, you know, do. So,
right.
And at the same time, as they're going out, going door to door, and people are like, D. Watson, yeah, you're excellent. In fact, I didn't know that libertarians were so awesome, right?
Yeah.
So now they might be looking for other L's. Because, you know, in Wake County, you know, we have some amazing candidates.
Right.
We pretty much fill up the Wake. There's somebody running in every race
yeah.
coming out of Wake County. And it would be great to see that in all the other counties throughout North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. We're in New Hanover County and a little bit in Brunswick County, too. We're kind of in our infancy when it comes to the Libertarian Party. But with that being said, too, there's just so many people disenfranchised with both that since 2016, the increase in Libertarian Party affiliated voters increased by 33%.
That's amazing.
Yeah, incredible. And then to your point earlier, too, the unaffiliated has grown exponentially as well, too. And guess what? Democrats, Republicans have both lost affiliations. So there's clearly room for something different. And that's the reason why I wanted to have you on this podcast, is because there is something different out there. Like, It's right here in front of you. I want to introduce you to it.
Yeah, I saw we were at Planet Fitness in Holly Springs yesterday, and there was this guy that had like the sports car. It was badass.
Yeah.
But on the front of it, it said unaffiliated, and then we the people ... are pissed. Nice. So like, my wife was like, check that out. You need to do that.
Yeah. That's a good way to get some publicity there.
That's a good way to get attention.
Right.
So, because we're asking all the fun questions, and it's very interesting to hear a veteran say, oh, well, I'm not a Democrat or I'm not a Republican. And I just wanted to point that out. Like, a lot of people assume that if you're a veteran, you are, like, most people are going to argue you're probably voting Republican, or the very minority in the military. They're like, oh, you're Democratic. And I'm like, there are so many other options for people that people should look outside of that. Yes, I know when you're in the military, you're sworn, you know, you do what the president says, or your mm-hmm. governor if you're in the National Guard, but you still have an opinion. Like, you still have the option to vote for somebody to make a change for what you're doing. So, and I always felt like when I was overseas, I'm like, man, I'm here, I'm doing my job, but are there other ways to get this done? Are there other ways for us to get things in motion to help other people? And you can't get there if you don't put that person into office, or at least give somebody the option to get there.
Because they give mm-hmm. you the narrative they want you to know.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I mean, when I went, I was, you know, gung ho, I'm killing bad guys, right? Yeah. I'm going in at the end of the Cold War, right? And we have Russia, and I'm here on submarines, and we're tracking Soviet boats, you know, because the Soviet Union's the bad guys.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's why we have under God in our Pledge of Allegiance, mm-hmm. right? Because they changed it in, what, 1954 to show that we're the good guys and the Soviets are the bad guys. And, you know, we've been fighting... We've been doing that with communism there for a while. It's amazing how, you know, people say nationalism is wrong, right? They yep. admit that now. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been doing it for decades,
yes.
right? We're indoctrinating our youth, right, yep. with the Pledge of Allegiance. And you get out of high school, and the most honorable thing you can do is go defend your country. And you come back, and you're proud. Mm-hmm. And then you find out that... why you were sent there was bullshit. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to cuss.
But. You can swear as much as you want on this podcast.
I mean, it's a whiskey podcast. If you were low right. alcohol, I feel like it's a little off.
George Bush broke my heart.
Yeah.
Right? I went to war for Bush Sr. Well, yeah, I know he's not Bush Sr., but that's what I always right, call yeah. him, right? And, Bush Jr., man, once I heard that the intel was all mm-hmm. bad, it broke my heart and made me anti-war.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's when I was like, you mean everything that we've done really is just for our own agenda? We're not right. helping anyone. You want to stop terrorist attacks on U.S. soil? Stop killing brown kids overseas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a retaliation, yeah. right? Because we feel like we've been blessed, the kingmakers of the world. And you know, we're involved in stuff that are thousands of years old, and we're too yeah. naive to even understand the nuances in it.
Right.
And, you know, people are just like, make it a lake, bomb it. Yeah.
Why?
Why? I mean, those kids are just as important as the kids stuck on the other side of the border and the yeah. ones who were born in the United States. Yeah. So don't tell me that abortion is about saving kids, but then bombing them is something completely different right. because I will call you a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the biggest things, is just kind of when you take a step back and you're willing to let go of the narratives of the Republican and Democrat stories and take a step back and look at it for what it actually is, you start seeing these hypocrisies everywhere. And that's kind of what kind of makes me kind of lean more libertarian than anything, is because you can look at something and be like, hey, am I infringing on someone else's rights first and foremost as a libertarian? And then you go from there, and there's no looking at that on either side to this point.
No. And that's how easy it is for libertarians to to make policies, right? Mm-hmm. When something comes at me, I don't need to like understand every nuance. If I'm reading through there and it looks like you're restricting liberty for right. no reason on people who have done nothing wrong and don't have due process, then it's wrong.
Right.
Right. There's no, oh, well, I'm going to go ahead and pass this and we're going to hope that we can kind of clear it up. No, we've been doing that for decades, right? Mm-hmm. Taking away human rights because of bad people.
Yeah.
So.
And that's my biggest thing against kind of what's going on right now too, is they've made this nation so divided that you have the Republicans going, the Democrats are the bad people. We need to make laws to cut out the Democrats. And you have the Democrats going, the Republicans are the bad people. We need to make laws to cut out the Republicans. Like, we're American citizens are supposedly on the freest nation in the world. Like, why are we making laws to give, let's be honest, you more power?
Right.
Like, that's the only thing that's happening. It's not because you're helping me or the other person or a Democrat or a Republican. No, you're giving yourself power.
And whoever wins, it actually becomes the Communist Party.
Right.
Right. They're like, the Republicans are like, oh, we're anti-communism, mm-hmm. but we're going to monitor everything you do in your house. And if we don't like it, we're going to arrest you mm-hmm. and you're going to pay taxes. And if we can't bust you on anything else, I'm going to get you on tax evasion. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it.
They're like, well.
Or some trumped up gun charges, right? You know, oh, you've got this. And, oh, you've got that weed plant outside.
You know? Right.
Oh, you must be a narco smuggler.
Right.
That was the funniest thing. We were talking to Francis a couple weeks ago, and we're like, you know, as good kids, quote unquote, we were like, if I went to my friend's house and they had a pot plant growing in their front yard and I was like 19, 20, I legitimately would have been like, okay, cool. That's a plant. I would have never known. It doesn't affect me, so I don't have to worry about it. But you get to a point and they're like, well, you know, we need to make sure that people aren't growing weed because it's a bad thing. I mean, why? What makes weed a bad thing compared to alcohol?
Yeah.
The person who is behind it with the most money.
Mm-hmm. Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Big Pharma hates weed because then all the vets are off opioids.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
So, and we're not killing ourselves anymore.
So there is it's actually another podcast that's literally across the street from us. They're called Signal Fire. And I love those guys. They're all veterans as well. And I was supposed to meet with one of them this week, but he's up in Raleigh fighting for the bill that actually is slowly getting passed through North Carolina Congress, which is amazing and incredible to fight, saying, hey, we need this marijuana bill passed, because they're actually selling shirts right now. They call it the combat cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
About when you get home from, like, here's a pill to make you go to sleep. Here's a pill to wake you up in the morning. And you're like, you know, we could have this without all of the side effects if you just make marijuana legal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what they're up there fighting for now. So
yeah, some of the side effects on those pills and those cocktails is suicide.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's like they are driving this to be a problem.
Yep. Exactly.
Big Pharma.
Yeah. There was you actually may even have it too, but I was reading another article saying that there's so many people that are committing suicide in parking lots of the VA.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, that should never be happening. That's crazy.
A guy I went to basic training, and he did his time, deployed, came back, and he did that.
Wow.
And it was just,
it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, it rips you from the inside out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'd gotten so heavily involved in crypto, mm-hmm. just to try to raise money for veteran services.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. Cause I had a buddy you know, I didn't talk to him in a decade, you know, mm-hmm. just, you know, we grow apart, we have our families, you know, we try to check in every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, sometimes time slips and then you fail someone like that.
Wow.
It's one of the things that I hope that we're able to fix. Right. But the best way not to have more veterans killing themselves is to stop sending them to war.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? So, you know, that's where I'm hoping to at least start with
right. You
know, some of this bullshit.
Yeah,
certainly. For probably the overwhelming majority of people listening, what would you say are the three tenets of being a libertarian? So they kind of have an idea if this is something for them.
Well, I like to just break it down into the, you know, we really have two.
good point. Yeah, right. You're right.
don't hurt people and don't take their stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Good ideas don't require force.
Right.
So, and, you know, we also have the NAP, you know, the non-aggression principle. Yeah. So we're peaceful, loving people who like to be well-armed in case we have to defend our homes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the Second Amendment, it's not just guns, right? When you read it, it's the right to bear arms. And I'm getting ready to argue that that includes my cyber weapons.
Yeah.
Right? If the government comes after me, who says that I'm, you know, I may have whatever I need to disable communications or anything like that. And that's the right to bear arms. Now, there's laws against that, mm-hmm. right? But when it comes down to it, they're going to have to beat me constitutionally.
Yeah.
So people you should be able to defend your home, though, with equal or greater force than what it's going to be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And how are we going to do that with a 22 pistol? Right. You can't do it.
I'm happy you bring that, because I never even thought of it that way. Of we are in this new world of cyber warfare with not even just other countries, but to that point too, I've never even thought of it that way. So that's a very, very good point.
Yeah, people are fighting about guns right now, but that ain't the weapons they got to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very smart. Yeah. And my favorite thing about the non-aggression principle kind of ties into, so you know how the Democrats have the donkey, the Republicans have the elephant. So libertarians, we have the porcupine, which fits in perfectly with that. They have these really spiky things. They don't typically attack someone unless they are attacked, and then the spikes come out.
Right.
So I just like that kind of.
And that kind of always fit my, you know, I don't care what people do. Just mm-hmm. leave me alone. Now, if you come after me, I'm going to come back with the full force of whatever I can to shut you down. And then after that, I'm good. I'll move along my life, you know? And, you know, I kind of raise my kids that way. Be independent thinkers. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody mess with them. But at the same time, don't mess with other people. You know, don't be bullies. Don't impose your will on other people. It's the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you want them to do to you. I mean, it's that simple.
Right.
I mean, everything we need to know in our adult, we learned in the first grade.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was talking to one of our very first episodes, Thaddeus, who we brought on. He's been growing a business in this area town. And I was talking to him today and just about life in general. We just had a conversation. And he goes, the best way that you can really look at life is just follow the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. He goes, that's really all we need. He was like, if we just took everything where it is right now and knocked it down a few notches and just kept it simple, he was like, we'd be in a such a better place. I was like, good point.
He's not wrong.
Should be that way, right? Yeah. But they're all written to catch, you know, they're all written to be biased, mm-hmm. whether it's economically or racially biased, or, you know, their laws are written to be used as weapons, not as these are what we would like you to follow, right? Because if not, it would be, they wouldn't have all those gotcha catches and all of that. Three strikes, stop and frisk.
Mm, yeah. I hate how they name these bills too. They come up with a name out of nowhere typically for them. And sometimes they get cute and make it an acronym. But
like Patriot Act.
Yeah, like the Patriot Act. Oh my God. And then the most recent one, the Keep Our Kids Safe bill, that makes it illegal to clean your own gun.
Yeah, and then when you say no to that bullshit, they're like, you said no to keeping our kids safe?
Right, yeah, and you know what's going to be was all over the TV in October. It was like, so-and-so said no to keeping our kids safe.
Yes. He says that we should not have gun-free zones.
Right, exactly.
It's all crazy. Just like the political, like, the stance and the agenda, because everyone's like, hey, you know, I want my name to be out there. So let's do, what can I do to make people remember me? Let's make this bill called Keeping mm-hmm. Kids Safe. But then it's, you know, 500 pages long. And, you know, in page 262, we add something random that helps them onto my people or helps. I'm like, no, I don't understand why all these law packets are just when you throw it on a table. I'm like, no.
Because they're not good enough to win on their own merit.
Right. Exactly. Here's 10,000 page bill, vote on it in 2 hours. Like, how do you know it's
when are we supposed to read it? Oh, no, yeah. Don't worry about it. You read it later.
Yeah, we'll find out after
it's
passed.
Nancy Pelosi says it's okay.
Right. Go ahead.
So, because you mentioned it earlier, using crypto to help you fund different things. Because I know a lot of people are like, you know, I'm just going to get money from all these, like, either big pharma or from oil industry or from people who have an agenda who then try and put money in your pocket so that way they can reach in there and get something out in the future. Is that what drove you to try?
I'm completely self-funded so far.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I took $10,000. I stuck it in one crypto wallet. I took $2,200 and stuck it in a different crypto wallet, bought SHIB with that. Mm-hmm. It blew up. Yeah. I made six figures last year. Right. So we were using some of that, but yeah, I think I may have received $200 in donations from just random people, but I've never asked for them because I was working on a master plan that didn't quite work out, but the plan was I had created several wallets for several different charities and had these tokens blew up. Instead of having $50,000 in the campaign fund to make the Senate, I was going to donate all of those to charities and try to get my TV time that way and not play the political game.
Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the bear market with crypto, it crippled me, right? I thought I had a great plan. It didn't really work out. But as long as crypto market recovers before November, then, you know, I could potentially at least have, you know, a commercial or two. And there's some crypto communities out there who are actually asking to help.
Oh, wow.
Like Colt Dow. They're like a... You know, they're a group of people who are, you know, anti large government, and it's all crypto, and it's a fascinating structure, and it's really where I kind of see crypto moving in the future,
right?
But and in some of the other communities, I work for a cryptocurrency token, Blue Sparrow. So when that market comes back, then I'll also have more money. But, you know, I always felt guilty, right, going to people saying, hey, you know, the other side's spending billions of dollars. You know, can I have $5 of your money to kind of help? And, you know, I'm going to get my ass beat. Mm-hmm. So what I would rather do is find ways to maximize how I spend money. I think they waste money anyway. What kind of candidate is going to get up there and say, yeah, I spent $1 billion getting elected, but now I'm going to watch how I spend your money?
Yeah.
It's bull. I want to vote for the guy who spent $400 on trying to get elected because he's watching the budget.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, is it really about the economy or is it really about outspending everyone else? And it's about outspending everyone else.
Yeah. Here in New Hanford County, I've been getting more and more involved in the Libertarian Party, not even just New Hanford County, but just the Cape Fear area in general. So Brunswick County, New Hanover, Pender, and Onslow. And one of the ideas that we might start working on soon, too, is very similar to that, where we're giving back to the community as our funds to get the publicity. So there's ways to raise money for things that people are being taxed on right now to raise that money, put it towards that so we don't have to raise those taxes there. Hopefully, at the very least, we're still giving back to the community, which is essentially what we're trying to do anyway. And then two, hopefully we do get that publicity so we can start running our own candidates to get up there on that platform. Be like, hey, your taxes didn't go up because we were doing this, this, and this to build these bridges to Brunswick County to make the river walk look nicer and whatnot. So I love what you're doing. And that's one of the ways that we're hoping to grow our little community down here.
Yeah.
As well.
DAOs, I think, are going to be exactly how we do that. I mean, it's really the smart answer to, you know, when people give us the libertarian question about roads.
Right.
Right. DAOs would fix that. And then they look at me crazy and then I'll draw it out on the board if you like, but you know, it'll be a toll road up until, you know, it's a toll road, and whoever is in the DAO, those funds go into the, the liquidity pool. Mm-hmm. And so everyone gets a piece of the pie who's actually invested in it and gets to use it. Right. And instead of actually paying money, maybe you're even making money, because then you have people from out of state who aren't there. So there's so many different things that we can do with medical care and all of it, and all starts with crypto. But it's so grand in what I see in my brain is hard to convey to the normal person who has no crypto understanding at all, because it's too much of a leap for them to even understand how a code is currency, let alone how NFTs can replace graduation certificates, house deeds, and, you know, change your loan processes down from days to minutes, you know, sending money to loved ones anywhere in the world and no longer having to worry about TSA asking if you got $10,000 in cash on you. You know, all of that stuff goes away.
Yeah. We had another, woman on, her name's Raylan, very involved in cryptocurrency. So we talked a lot about these things too, about how NFTs and smart contracts and DAOs can change the way that we see life. But the one thing we didn't talk too much about is DAOs in that conversation. So for our listeners that probably don't know what a DAO is, can you explain a little bit more what a DAO is consists of?
So think about it as like a organization, like a company. Now, I'll explain the cult DAO a little bit just so that I can talk truth to a particular one and people can kind of look it up and kind of see. So they have, and they're also very libertarian-ish in their wording, right? So they have a manifesto and it's very, it's very anti-big government. But your top 50 holders are your guardians, right? You can kind of consider them your House of Representatives.
Okay.
And then you have all of your other holders who are holding much smaller amounts. But the holders contact the guardians and they're like, look, this is what we want to do with our DAO. The guardians, you know, put it for, then it gets voted for everyone else. And then they, you know, they move forward on it. So it's a very democratic way where like-minded people are able to accomplish the things that they want to accomplish.
Right.
And you know what? If you don't like the mission of them, pick another one. Yeah. Pick one that you do like the mission to. And then that's where your money goes. Maybe there's a DAO strictly for donating money to the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Well, that may not be a cause that I personally would like to do, but you're able to do that and you know your money's going straight there.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe you want to send your money to have guns dropped in the middle of Afghanistan so the Taliban can have them. Well, that's not something I want to participate in, but you're more than welcome to go ahead and participate in that if you want to. You know, things like that.
That's what I love about it too, because back to the libertarian principle where, let your dollars talk, let your feet talk. And it kind of takes away the crazy nonprofits that we have now. You're giving money towards something. 90% of the time, it's not really going to where you think it's going to. One of my biggest things, and my dad taught me this years ago, before you donate to any nonprofit, look at the financials, find out where it's going. And when it comes to DAOs, it's basically that on steroids.
Yes.
Because you can watch where every dollar goes, not just the random federal documents that they show you that it may or may not be going to. So you can see where every dollar goes in that DAO.
And you can track it forever.
Yep.
It's all right there in a digital. There's no hiding. Mm-mm. There's no, you know, stealing. You can.
Right, but they'll find you. Exactly.
You know, so people are all like, oh, drug dealers are doing that. No, they're kind of using cash, right? Because
they know it can be tracked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, crypto can be tracked. Cash, you know, cash is, I mean, that's why we dump millions of dollars in fiat currency on pallets, you know, in the Middle East on parachutes. Oh, wait, I don't know why we do that, but we do.
Never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again. And that money, you know, gets used for all sorts of stuff against us. As you are aware, you know, the Taliban was created by Reagan.
Right.
And then armed by Biden.
It's just insane how many times you can look back to see how we're fighting wars against wars that we created.
Right.
Like,
it's so funny. Everyone's like, oh, we got it. No. Are they hurting me? Are they intending to hurt me? Nope. Leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
like the whole BS when you went in Afghanistan. Well, we saved them because Russia was messing with them. You should have learned something when Russia was doing it. Don't right. try it. As soon as Russia left, well, they went back to doing their own thing.
The conversation that I get a lot of too when I tell people about what libertarians stand for, and they're like, but we're the good guys. We need to be the police of, like, we need to protect these other places. I'm like, but what are you protecting? Because you don't know what those regions or countries actually want.
Right.
Because, like, you're getting the narrative what the U.S. wants to tell you that they want, but you don't know if that's true or not, and let them figure it out. Like, of course, like, if there was a true, like, Nazi situation, like, there's a certain type of thing you could argue there, but there's really nothing like that going on, and odds are it would be found out so fast nowadays, the way information travels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's really no way that could ever happen again.
We are getting so close to where I don't think we need these massive governments, mm-hmm. right? It's the people. Information travels at the speed of light, right?
Yeah.
People are starting to demand that their voices are heard. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, even in the Soviet or Russia, they're not Soviet anymore, right. I am a Cold War vet too, so.
Right.
But, you know, they're revolting against the attacks on Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's we just need to get rid of the government agendas.
Yeah.
All over the world, even our own.
Right.
No, I actually kind of agree with it. We were laughing because I was saying this earlier because I sent something to Tyler. I was like, everyone was arguing, well, you're left and right, and then you go and look at Europe and they're like, well, both sides are really far on one side compared to what we have over here. And then you look at the EU and they got just like our like Senate and Congress, they got a bunch of people that represent the different countries over there, but they have different representation. It's not like one and two and maybe three. There's like six or seven. Like mm-hmm. I feel like everyone should go in and look at how the EU actually has representatives for each country, because every single country believes in something different. Just like every single state in the US mm-hmm. believes in something different, or you have different tenets. If you don't believe, you don't like it, move to a different state. But like, I feel like each state should have more representatives that are different
mm-hmm.
than just one or two.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or one and a half, two and a half. Like,
you never get away from whatever that agenda is.
Yeah. Right. One of the things that I know we talked about it one time before, you sent me a TikTok, we talked about it. And then another one of my friends, the other thing we were talking about too is, why should a U.S. representative in the Bronx be telling someone in Missouri how they should be living their life? And that's another one of the big things for libertarianism is, hey, let the states be what they were supposed to be and what they were meant to be and run themselves, because having New York or California telling Missouri or Montana what to do doesn't make any sense at all. There's no correlation, no overlap.
Or getting Big Pharma from Virginia to
right.
donate to the Senate campaign of either their favorite Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. Right. So you got outside money from the state coming in to influence, you know, our state elections.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another huge thing too, because I got into a small debate with someone talking about like, oh, we can't have Russia interfering with our elections. I'm like, you're okay with Facebook interfering with our elections? You're cool with Mark Zuckerberg doing it? And they're like, wait, what?
Well, last like, year, the Democratic Party sent out a bunch of flyers on my behalf.
I heard this story. Yeah. You'll appreciate this. Yeah.
So I was a couple days before the election.
Okay.
And I'm just working normal or whatever. My phone rings and on my political line. So I answer it and it's the mailman and he's pissed. He's like calling me a motherfucker and all this stuff. And I'm like, sir, what? I'm sorry that you're upset. What's going on? And he's like, you print these addresses too small and I can't deliver them. And I'm like, well, you apparently found my phone number.
Yeah.
So you know where my address is. Just put it on my mailbox. Just give me my bills and I'll take care of it. And I apologize.
Yeah.
And then about a few minutes later, I get another phone call from someone saying, oh, I just got your flyer. You know, I'm glad you're standing for the Second Amendment and so. And I'm like, what? So then some people from Onslow called me, and they're like, "Hey, I love your flyer." And well, it turned out that the Democratic Party sent out a bunch of Second Amendment flyers talking about how Tillis supported red flag laws, which was true.
Yeah,
everything was true. Mm-hmm. Republicans were mad though because they were calling me a liar and all that. And I'm like, "Hey, look, hey, I didn't send this out." And B, somebody just spent like $250,000 on flyers, and all I spent was $400. Yeah. So, but yeah, these flyers went out all over the state like a couple days before. And you know it was a Democrat because they were trying to split the Republican Libertarian vote.
Hey, I mean,
dark money, man. Dark money. It was influencing the election.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to write that down and I forgot because I was listening to, I think you had an interview with, oh shoot, what's his name? He has the podcast on YouTube on behalf of the North Carolina Libertarian.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you were telling that story on there too. I was like, oh,
yeah,
I need
coach.
To. Yeah, yeah.
I just think that's funny. Like, it gets very political, but I'm with you. I'm like, why are we giving so much money? Oh, it's because it's a tax write-off. That's why. Mm-hmm. But it just, you know, everyone wants to either vote red or vote blue. I'm like, no, do the right thing. Vote for who you think makes the most sense for you. And don't, it doesn't matter if they're red or blue or green or yellow, you know, do your research. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest proponent is this is 2022. If you are, one, not voting, you know, tisk tisk. Two, I feel like everyone should be doing some sort of research. You have your phone in your hand, like minimum 3 hours out of a day. Take some of that time to do some research into, like, what's coming up. I mean, I always laugh at my wife. I'm like, I don't know what news is going on. Like, I didn't realize this happened unless she told me. And I mean, obviously I did know because it pops up on my phone a little bit, but you know, you have to do some sort of research and understand what the big topics are. Mm-hmm. You can't just show up and be like, oh, well that guy voted for the, you know, protect our kids bill. We should, do you even know what that bill was? Mm-hmm. No, that bill was for them trying to take your guns and you support 2A. Like that's totally against what you wanted. But you need to do research.
My thing that I've been telling people to is like, imagine if you showed up to the voting booth and there wasn't an R or an D next to people's names. People would be so lost these days. Absolutely. They'd be like, oh, I'm just going to go home.
Oh, I love it. But I do have one. I got a fun question for you. Because you do work in the crypto space. I always ask at least one silly question for everybody, even if we get like very serious and everything. What was the, if you can talk about this, what was the biggest thing you invested in crypto? And what is the wildest thing you invested in?
My biggest loss was ICP. Okay. It's a utility token and it's still going to do great things, but it came out at $700 a token. And I was like, wow, that's cheap. Then I bought it at $600 a token. 5, 4, 3, 2. It's now trading somewhere around $6.90.
Oh wow.
But I did it's called dollar cost averaging. As it went down, I was buying it, and then before the bear market it had a pop-up run where everything went green and I sold.
Oh yeah,
but I am. Last week I did get back into it because it at $6 is ridiculous. Right,
yeah.
They're the future of the internet, but no one knows it yet, right? So you have to understand the technology and all of that. I just got into it knowing the technology, but then not really worrying about the market. That burned me.
Yes,
SHIB. I made 6 figures last year in that meme coin.
Yeah,
Blue Sparrow. I'll probably change my status to crypto millionaire sometime this year.
Nice.
Wow.
So they're kind of the big ones. You know, I've done, you know, say Tama, they're kind of in, and so a lot of them right now are kind of in the red, but I'm still well ahead because of the run that SHIB had last year.
Very cool.
And then working with Blue Sparrow has been a true blessing.
That's very cool. So, yeah, I just heard about them because I was back bouncing on your Twitter for a little bit too, and I was like, I need to do a little more research on this.
Yeah, we actually, that one, we built a school in, I don't know, did I say this? But no. We built a school, we're in the process of building a school in Kenya, Africa.
Okay.
Wow. For a tribe. Mm-hmm. They had no running water. The girls, the little girls, their job for the day was to walk 5 miles to get water and to walk back.
Wow.
They physically castrate their girls here, right? They're not treated well. So now we're building a school in a water tower.
Wow.
So now the kids, instead of having their child go 5 miles a day to get water, they just go to school and we have the water tower and they can bring the water home.
Wow.
We're doing one in the Middle East as well. Mm. So that's my passion project, because not only is it crypto to where I'm still helping the investors by building utilities, because right. I'm actively writing code to kind of help expand this.
Oh, wow.
Working with the team, but it's all charity focused. And then the holders from all around the world, we have daily drawings, right? So as long as you hold a certain amount of the token, 7 people a day get $250 in ETH.
Oh,
we
wow.
have weekly drawings. We have monthly drawings. We've given over, $60,000 to charity so far, and we've only been around for 6 months.
Wow. That's
so incredible. This, whether politics or anything, whether the people of North Carolina realize if I'm, if they don't realize that I'm good for North Carolina, yeah. I am still focusing on revolutionizing the way crypto can change our world,
mm-hmm.
right? And if the Senate doesn't work out for me, I'm going to be a crypto lobbyist because of stories like this, right? And I won't even work for anybody, because I'll be working, inside a crypto market that is actually quite, it's taking care. It's letting me do the things that I really enjoy doing.
Right.
And I have a greater impact now than I ever have in my entire life, helping kids who will never know who we are.
Yeah.
Right. And it in my mind, with, my military background and stuff like that, this is something that now I'm truly proud of.
Right.
Right. It's no longer just an honor. This is where we're repairing, parts of the world, and we're using technology to help people who will never even understand the technology that's benefiting them. So yeah, that's just that to me is where I'm supposed to be in life. And I can continue to do that whether I get elected or not.
Yeah.
So, and there's other projects I'm, working with to really try to do the same thing and help crypto as a community and turn it into a positive thing instead of where people think the drug dealers go. Right.
Yeah.
Which is complete fallacy.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. No, I really appreciate that. That's incredible. I didn't know everything they were doing there. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. And we get pictures, man. And it is just so heartwarming.
Yeah.
Right. To see the impact that you're doing across the world. And we picked the impoverished areas of the world because, here in the United States, there's enough programs not taking care of everyone. I'd really love to have one for homeless vets and things like that. But kids, by and large, they're on the WIC program and they're educated, and we don't mutilate our girls here. And, and our kids aren't treated as slave labor. So to change that, to learn about that this is still happening in our world, drives you to sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you realize that you can change it, that gives you purpose.
Yeah. Just on a broader aspect, I found out last year that there's more slaves in the world now than there's ever been ever in history.
That's ridiculous.
Which is mind blowing to me. Can't even fathom.
Freedom is so just people. We've given our liberties and our freedom away so long that, some people don't even, you hear people all the time, like the Second Amendment, just get rid of it. Well, you can't, because it's not what the government allows us to do. It's what we allow the government to do. It's our document, not the government document. But it's also the only amendment protecting the rest.
Mm-hmm.
After they take your guns, if they tell you to shut up, what are you going to do? Right. You gonna keep talking? I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not.
I saw a Navy vet in this was the one thing that turned me from kind of like a libertarian until I went full throttle was when I Portland, Oregon, when I saw that unarmed Navy veteran get beat down by federal police for no reason. Right. They were just beating on him. He's a white guy. Yeah. not that it's good, bad, or indifferent on anything else, but you just saw this guy just beating him for no reason. And I was like, that guy served our country. I have no idea if it's honorably or not, anything like that. But for you just to go up and think that you can just start beating this human being that wasn't causing any damage. No. Right. And then we got Ruby Ridge, and then we've got King, and then we have all the racial injustices going on. And, we've got people that are just unhinged, and they're just angry, and they want to impose their will on anyone for any reason. And people are just shit.
We just need
more people that just care,
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Before we get into the very last question, one of the things I think is hard for a lot of people to find and to grasp libertarianism, from what I've been able to gather, is it has a little bit of some of like the Democrat viewpoints, some of a little bit of the Republican viewpoints, and then there's libertarian viewpoints in it. And just people have been so just kind of pushed into their own corners that if there's something other than what their team is saying, they're not willing to cross over or to think any different. And that's kind of the biggest thing that I've been facing, trying to get people to come over to. Do you have any thoughts on?
Yeah, most people wouldn't even care about half the tenets of these other parties if they weren't told to.
Right.
Right. When did, right now what's being overspun is, well, you can't say gay. Well, that's got over. I don't even know why we're talking about sexual education in second grade. This is where school choice is so important. If we shouldn't have the federal government in charge of our education system anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So exactly. The libertarian ideas are made for things like this, but they'd rather just throw more money at the problem, both sides.
Yep.
Right. Make laws. Oh, you can't say gay. Oh, wait. We can't make laws that tell you not to do that because that violates the First Amendment. But in this case, you don't get that right.
Right.
Right. You're like, well, you're a hypocrite. And then you got most people don't even understand the Constitution. Like one Republican senator was like writing a book, and the book publisher, because of the January 6th, was like, we're not going to publish your book. And he's like, well, you're violating my First Amendment right. No. First Amendment says Congress shall make no laws, right, which stops the government from infringing on all of those rights. But it doesn't stop a publisher from saying, hey, dude, you're a jackass. We're not going to publish you. That's not what the First Amendment means.
Uh-uh.
So, most people don't even understand the Constitution. I mean, it's on my wall in two places in my house.
Yeah.
And, I don't read it every day, but every once in a while, I like to just go, especially the second one.
Right.
Shall not be infringed, right? But yeah, I'm sorry. I kind of got a flutter.
Oh, no. Yeah, that answered a lot of it, though. So, if there's nothing else for me, the school choice is one of the largest things. I have a 2-year-old and a newborn right now. So the school choice is huge for me. I don't plan on leaving North Carolina. So that's one thing that I'm specifically passionate about. So if nothing else, I hope that's something that changes a lot here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a minor. In middle school, getting ready to go to high school. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of running, Now they've had a good education, and but I'm also heavily involved in my kids' education, right? My 14-year-old has her Bitcoin and some meme coins. And so she's tracking the market. They all have their little green light cards. I'm teaching them the stuff that I wish were taught to us, like economics, right? And debt. And how all of these things, and what I'm not teaching them is how to think and how to believe. Like we don't push religion.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm an atheist, and I'm quite proud of that. But I'm also one of the biggest fans of the First Amendment. Right, I believe in your right to to do that.
Right.
To believe in whatever, and I'll fight for your right to to do that. And all I expect is the same.
Right.
Right. Not to be chastised or judged for my elevated scientific thinking.
Yeah. See, on the other side of that, very similarly, but again, other side, I'm Christian and same thing. I will fight for any Muslim, I'll fight for any atheist, because I think anyone gets the right to decide what they believe is right or what they believe is a higher power or not, or so be it.
Right.
And
if the higher power is there, weren't we given, you know, freedom of choice?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So if for those religious people, if freedom of choice is supposed to be on us, then we should be able to exercise 100%. It without the government telling us otherwise.
Yep. Exactly. I know you have some time restraints today too, so I'll drop my last question real quick. And that is, if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Oh, yeah, I'm stupid. There isn't one thing that I believe now that I believed when I was 30.
Yeah.
I mean, I came out of the military. It was one thing, right? 2001 happened. I wanted to get back in. I was indoctrinated all the way. It took a while to see, you know, the damage and stuff, not just, you know, in the Middle East,
right,
or Kuwait, but on our brothers and sisters, right, that are coming back. And you see the damage that's on them, and the ones you knew before. And when they come back, they're different, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't prepare you for life necessarily. So it's those experiences of trying to take care of your brothers and sisters and understanding. I was very Republican, right? So I was kind of Second Amendment. I didn't have a gun, but you know, I wanted one. But you know, it was really when they got into the religious aspect, because I was an atheist. It was like, don't judge me by whatever you think your deity is, and don't judge someone else because you don't agree with who their deity is. What arrogance do you have to think that you're truly that correct? Right. I mean, because when you trace, I study religion, you know, I grew up Mormon. I've read the Quran. I've read the Bible a bunch, so I'm not uneducated when it comes. But then, you know, I've also done the chronologically put things in events in order and actually studied stuff and realized where some translations come from. And I just had enough. It was just like, it's all, you know, man manipulated. It doesn't mean that I'm not a good person. You know, I'm still
certainly
giving out, you know, to charity. And I just don't believe in that. But I raise my kids to just take care of everyone. You know, my kids, when I go to Fayetteville and we do the Run to Remember, you know, and I'm wearing a uniform, my daughters are standing with me holding the flag, you know, remembering the memorial of the people that we've lost, you know, not celebrating war. And I just want, so that's kind of the thing that I've kind of learned is, your life experiences are going to change you. And if they don't, then you're not challenging yourself probably, because the things that you know at 18 aren't good.
Right.
Right. You've made a lot of assumptions, and I can tell you're wrong. I was wrong. I was having an argument with a guy the other day, and he says, well, I felt the same way when I was in middle school. And I'm like, how old are you now? He's like 21. And I'm like, dude, you're such a baby still. Your brain's still growing until you're 25. And he got so mad at me. He's like, you can't call me a baby. I'm talking about, no, the physical development of your brain is not, you. Here's Dr. Phil. Here's a Google search.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're lying. Your science sucks. I'm like, dude, come on. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and quit on my PhD right now.
Right. Yeah.
I apparently don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, you know, it's, it doesn't. But he was, and I was like, man, as you go through your life, you're going to understand what's important and where you've been lied to. And that's really the difference.
Yeah.
I was lied to and didn't know before. So I believe certain things. And then once I realized and was able to kind of see behind the curtain, then I started making my own decisions.
Right.
And that's really, I think, the big difference. And it all started with becoming a libertarian.
Yeah.
Like saying I had enough what else is out there. And then not just believing what you see on CNN or Fox, right? Because mm-hmm. they both have merit. They're both sure. spun like, you know, mothers. Like, yeah. Yeah. they'll use adjectives. They get people all hating. But how many conspiracy theories have we heard that have actually been true?
Right.
Right. I'm getting tired of saying, dude, that's a conspiracy theory. And then me having to go eat dirt after. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, maybe it did come from there.
Right.
Maybe exactly. it did come from a lab.
That's been the biggest thing for me since I started kind of looking down the libertarian lens is you can take a step back from the two stories that you're hearing all the time and take an objective view, and you can call both sides out for what they are.
And it's clear as day once you have that vision.
Exactly. I've been talking about this on the past couple podcasts about another podcast that I'm thinking about starting called the 3D Glasses Project. And basically, there's a red lens, there's a blue lens. When you take it off, you can see their true colors now. And that's essentially what I'd want the podcast to be about, is just taking an objective view and not looking through either color lens. Because what even if you are Democrat and you want to look through the red lens to see how wrong that they are, if you're a Republican, you want to look through the blue lens to see how wrong they are, you're still looking through the same blue or red lens, and you're still not seeing the true colors that are out there. And that's what's crazy. So just being able, and whether or not you choose you more libertarian or what, if you just take the blue and red glasses off and take a step back, how much more clear it looks.
Yeah. And because I can care less if people are libertarian. Right. All I care is if they're voting their own agenda.
Yep.
Right. Voting their own conscience. And not doing it because someone told them to.
Yep. Yeah. We literally had this conversation like 2 minutes before I went to get you on. I was like, I don't even care if someone comes in and says that they're a socialist, but if you're voting Democrat and you're a socialist, you're not voting for your true meaning. Like, find the Green Party or someone that closely more like relates to you. I'm like, it makes me more upset that you're not voting your true conscience than anything. I'm like, I disagree completely with all of your theories, but at least vote for what you actually believe. Like, come on.
Love it.
All right. But yeah, we won't make you too late here. So we'll start wrapping it up, and we'll let Chris go through our outro.
So I want to thank you, Shannon, once again for coming on. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
The best place is probably on Twitter at Shannon Bray NC, NC for North Carolina. I'm on Twitter 24 hours a day, almost 7 days a week. It's really where it's my office now in the crypto world. And also it's shannonbray.us is the campaign site.
Okay.
If you want to see, you know, some of the, I don't have my whole platform, but it is the libertarian platform. So if anyone, you know, has any questions, you know, I don't mind speaking. I'm happy to talk about them. I'm happy to talk into the weeds. But by and large, you know, I just want people to know that everything that I do starts from personal liberty and works its way backwards or outwards. And if any time that personal liberty gets messed with, then I'm against it. So as long as you know that, you can pretty much pick where I'm going to be on any bill. Right. And there's no hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. There's no bullshit. There's no flip flopping. It's just the way it is.
Yep.
So, you know, that's clear cut. There's and I guess that's it.
Yeah.
No, I love it. So I just loved having someone on here and kind of making a man out of a politician, because I feel like a lot of times you see people online and they're like, oh, hey, well, I'm this person or that person, and you don't see the real person behind it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we sat down and we got to talk to you. We actually got to see your true point of views, not just what you're expected to say when you're out in the world and everything. So it was kind of nice to sit down.
I started letting people down a long time ago. this is what we expect you to say. I'm like,
just kidding.
But he didn't let us down. We had the Tula Mordu, a nice Irish whiskey, super classic. I tried it both ways. It is definitely just a very chill Irish whiskey. It does taste nice on rocks.
Yeah.
Tastes nice neat too.
It does.
We've been on here for a minute, so I split like halfway through and just tried both. So definitely check that out. If you guys got any questions about Shannon, hit him up on Twitter. If you got questions about Tula Mordu, hit me or Tyler up on Instagram. Surprisingly enough, I am on Twitter.
No way.
but I am low-key. You don't want to follow me. I follow a bunch of survivor people on Twitter, so okay. it's not very helpful. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. This, like I said, it was a great conversation. I think if you guys didn't get any wisdom, I don't know what you were listening to, because I learned a lot. But thank you. Hit us up on social media, like, and you know, send us a nice comment and rating on all the social media platforms. Give us a download and a listen, and you know, we'll be out here next week. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
It was nice meeting y'all.
Thanks. You too.